you will join our cult. You have put your blood inside here. We'll mix it with egg and this and that. We'll sacrifice. Then we'll go out and patrol near the graveyard. Don't deceive yourself. Devil doesn't go to graveyard. You know, there's nothing happening there. If now you be devil, you go graveyard. You go to a party where people are gathered. No, be so. You want to go, everybody is dead. I mean, so they now say, hey, we're going to graveyard. We're going to graveyard. So you are waiting. That no, Pastor Banky said that they join cult. I'm not going to join. Then you wait. They don't come to approach you. But you join the cult, you don't know. Why? Because your friend will tell you that, listen, these kind of songs don't sell. You have to put small sex into it. Then the video, no. The girls must watch, wear mini skirt. You know, you are not joining cult. Are you seeing? They have not come to initiate you. But the chief priest is talking to you. You don't realize. He's your chief marketer. How are you going to say? You are waiting for when somebody will come and say, hey, remove, yeah. That one is home video. The real cult. It's not like, oh boy, what's happening? When you come, you want to sing your song. You know, I say, wait, what are you singing? He said, no. First track must be, oh girl, I love you, follow me to the backyard. You must start with that one now. He said, why? He said, it's young people that buy these songs. Those are the kind of things they want to hear. Listen, you have just been initiated into the cult. You don't realize it. You are waiting for when they will send you a mystery wearing black and red. You want to know when you join the cult? When you are dining with the devil? When you are using things you don't believe in to make money? Just know, say, you don't join cult. Look, I know I'm digressing, but let me emphasize that. When you are doing things you don't believe in to make money, you are serving the devil. Many years ago, somebody said I should come and sell GNLD. This was long ago. I would have made money. 1999, year 2000. That year, I think it was year 2000, early 2000. And the woman was explaining to her, my wife and I were there that day, how this and this and that and that. I said something to her. I said, maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it makes money. And maybe he makes plenty of it. I said, but there's one problem. She said, what? I said, I'm a doctor. If I sell anything to anybody, he or she assumes that I'm speaking with the power of my medical knowledge. So if I say, aloe vera will cure your cancer, the fellow will believe me. Thinking, and I go and quote that a doctor said so. Not knowing that a hungry man who wants to make money said so. I left my medical knowledge behind to sell the aloe vera. That's by the way. I said to her simply, I don't believe in this. I'm not saying it is bad. I'm just not a native doctor. I was not trained to use grass to cure people. Everything I'm supposed to prescribe must have scientific basis. Not hype, not plenty marketing. So I don't believe in it. I don't care the amount of money there is to make in it. It is against the principles of working by your conscience for me to sell GNLD drugs. I am not saying GNLD drugs are bad. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? And I won't be fair on my patient when he said this one has multivitamins and I see the price. I know he can get the same quality of vitamins. I can name where you get it from for one quarter that price. I'm not saying it is bad. I just cannot sell it. Many people have joined cults. That's what I'm saying. They are singing songs they don't believe in. They are videos. They don't like what the girls in the video are dancing. But somebody said to them, that's how it sells. That's how it makes money. You are in the cult and you are pointing at the bunch. You are in the cult. Be careful as a musician that you don't minister along with Satan. That's what I'm saying. Whatever you are doing in life, be careful. Like I said, we are picking things here and there. What I've just said up to this point, let's understand the importance of songs. Let's get back to our message. Don't forget, songs, they are spiritual weapons. Remember our law of personal control. Can you remember? This is where it works. Something you say all the time. Now let's get back to the main message, which is Deuteronomy chapter 32. So the Lord said to the people of Israel through Moses, In fact, he said to Moses, write the song. And what he was supposed to do was to be a national song, like a national anthem, something they will sing all the time. So he said, a day of distress will come, and this will be their way out of distress. Now, please, I'm going to read a lot here. Like I said, we'll read most of the chapter. But I'll try and jump here and there so as to save us time. But this is a summary of it. I need to give us a summary first, so we'll now read it together. You see the points in there. The summary is that Israel was a nation of God, was a nation of God, and God was on their side. And the Lord said simply, a time will come in which they will go into the way of backsliding. And the only way by which he will point out to them that what they have done is wrong is by the problems that will come upon them. Are you getting my point? Now, we don't know the number of years that was going to pass between this time and when the problems will commence. But the issue is that people were likely to forget where their problem was coming from, and therefore they will use the wrong solution to address it. The song was given to them to remind them that if you, now listen to this, as a nation, the people of Israel, God's covenant people, if you ever have a problem, it is not because of your enemies. Your enemies are always a sign of, that is, their triumph over you, their victory over you will always be a sign of the fact that God has departed from you. And if you want to solve the problem, don't ever try and solve the problem with the enemy first. You must always solve the problem by redirecting your eyes back to your God, repenting of your wicked ways, uniting yourself back to God, and then your problems with your enemies will fizzle out. If you are not here, then let me recommend this message we preached about maybe about 6-7 months ago, which, what I called, what is wrong, or was it last year, I don't even know again. What's wrong with a king? All right? Please don't get the message. It's titled, So What is Wrong with a King? Let me just explain it to us again. Israel asked for a king, and God was displeased. Why was the Lord displeased? This is a simple reason. It was because they forgot, this is a summary of it, they forgot the song of Moses. Israel will have problems. People will attack them. They decided that the cause of their problem was poor organization. They decided that the reason why their enemies were strong and were able to defeat them was because they did not have a good standing army being run or controlled or commanded by a king. And what they asked for actually was a commander-in-chief. It was not just a king as in, okay, just be our ruler. They wanted somebody to command their armies. They've decided that that was the cause of their problems. What happened while the Lord was angry was that that was a clear rejection of the principle we're going to look at in a moment. When they said that to Samuel, what they were saying is that whether we obey God or not, if we have a good king, our problems will disappear. Meanwhile, God's order was, if you obey me, you will have order. If you obey me, you will have peace. The word shalom, all right? God said, I will bless you with prosperity, which is the same word as peace. If you obey me, these things will be within your borders. You will have prosperity within your palaces. There will be no problem in the nation. But the people were disobeying God. They were having problems, and they decided it is because they do not have a king. So what God said, you see, they have rejected me as their king. Go and get the message. I titled it, So What's Wrong with a King? What the Lord said to them is that, listen, when you have problems, don't ever forget it. Let me now say it to Christians again. It's a very popular doctrine. You've heard me challenge it every time. They say it's because there's a curse working in your life. That's why you have problems. It is true if you have not given your life to Christ. If you are a believer, then I'm telling you again, it's a lie. When I say curse now, I mean, I don't mean things. If you are walking against the word of God, you are walking by yourself into a curse. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm talking about, they said it's an ancestral curse. Somebody cursed our family that time. The person that was cursed has died. He has been nailed to the cross. Are you getting my point? He has been buried with Christ Jesus. All right? And the person who rose again with Christ is the new you, and that person has no curse walking in his or her life. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
That's the word of God. We'll talk about it deeper again, beginning from next year. Talking about this Christ thing. What God has done for us in Christ Jesus. It's a fat lie. People will take time. I will say this to you again. It's not popular doctrine, but I will preach it because it's the truth. Before, I used to say a false prophet, but I've modified it a bit. And let me show mercy on some of my fellow ministers. I've now added the word an ignorant prophet. A false or ignorant prophet. If you go anywhere, this is how you know them. So I have problems. And they start praying. And in the midst of their prayers, they identify a witch as the cause of your problems. They identify a curse hanging over your family as the cause of your problems. In the midst of the prayer, they begin to see visions and dreams of people who have joined in cults, all right, to control your destiny. Listen to me. I don't care how dramatic the whole atmosphere appears. They are false prophets. Being false does not mean they went out of their way to be false. Ignorance can make you false. Some of these things are habits of trade. I don't know whether you know what I mean by habits of trade. If you grew up, you were trained in a place where every prayer is directed against enemies. You understand my point? Witches that fly by night, that suck blood during the day, and the one that all your prayers are directed against such things. When you become a preacher also, you pick up from there and you continue. Listen, you are walking in false prophecy. In Christ Jesus, go and read your scriptures. In Christ Jesus, we don't point fingers at witches. We don't point fingers at enemies. Not because they don't exist. People say, Pastor Banky, I've seen them before. You think I don't have to? There are people that when they wake up in the morning, they are on this, God, do me a favor today. Kill Banky. And they are not a prayer point to me. Do you get my point? They are not a prayer point to me. He prepares a table before me because all my enemies are dead. Was that what he said? He prepares a table before me after he had wiped out all the enemies and their generations. Is that what he said? What did he say? He prepared a table before me. I didn't hear that. They were there. They were there watching. He anointed me, filled my cup, it ran over in the presence of my enemies. So if anybody says the reason why you are not anointed is because you have enemies, he said, apparently your Bible does not have Psalm 23. Your ministry will have moved if only there were no witches who are contending with you. I heard a man of God divorce his wife. They said, why? He said, because she's the witch. Does not allow this ministry to move forward. Listen, this is Christianity. We don't waste time with such prayers. Not because the witches don't exist, but like I say all the time, life has realms. Are you getting my point? Life has what? Realms. You know, as you're sitting down there, if I were to count the number of bacteria that you came with, some of them on your cloth, straight from the dry cleaner. The other ones on your soap, as you won't wash your face. That toothbrush you took is a house of bacteria. I hope you know that. Your shoes, let's not even talk about it. This chair we cleaned here, waiting for you to come for Bible study. We cleaned it of dust, not of bacteria. In fact, there's a fat joke out there. Let me help you. You see them selling antiseptics. Drop it in your water to kill bacteria so your children will be healthy. For a happier family, use, let me not mention names. They see them drop it. It's a lie. You see the advert? Antiseptic soap. There's one big one there. Then I see one fine girl. I use, let me not mention name. Is there? The poster is there. I said, go out there. You see, the girl will smile. That girl has never touched that soap. That fine way she find out two things. One, your mama born like that. Two, now pancake. They painted her. You know how many shots they took before they put her up there? Let them take her, really. Wash her with those antiseptic soap and put her there. Nobody go by. So the first thing, now they go paint the face. Professional makeup artist. We put her up there to deceive you into buying an antiseptic soap. I'm a doctor. I'm giving you facts. When surgeons want to wash their hands before surgery, common white soap, Joy, Lux, Premier is what they use. You did not know that? You have been wasting your God-given offering money to buy antiseptic soap. Now, why am I talking about all of this? Say, Pastor Baggy, what can we do about those bacteria? Nothing. They are your friends. Okay, at least your neighbor. The way the good Lord did it, they can't do anything to you. I'm coming somewhere. Or I'm going somewhere. As long as your immune system is intact, that's where I'm going. As long as your immune system is intact, what you need as a man, as a woman, every day, just have a bath with basic soap. All these are spending money on expensive soap. Fat light. In fact, some of them tell this one is 1/4 cream, 3/4 soap. I say, why I go use cream, take bath? When I bath finish, I rub cream. No, so all of those now to collect your money. The truth is, I want to just need just basic soap, plenty of water. Have that bath regularly, you are okay. As long as your immune system is intact. The people that they start controlling what they put in their mouth, what they don't put in their mouth, one thing I give my wife credit for the way she behaves in other areas, this one surprised me. All the children she had, she said, listen, as I born you so, you won't drink water, you will drink the water that's in the house. I'm not boiling water for you. I'm not giving you special baby water. I'm not buying you bottled water. I'm not buying you purified water. As I born you, any water enter your mouth is the one me and my husband are drinking. Or if you are one of the younger ones, the same water your senior ones are drinking. I'm serious. From the first month, once they begin drink water, this baby wants to drink. It's just normal water. Bam, put in your mouth. Not spoiling you. You will drink normal water. Why? Your immune system is normal. You are getting my point? But there are babies that are born. They have, let me give one of the simple but complex names. Like there's what we call severe combined immune deficiency. It's a particular disease or group of diseases. Those children can't drink normal water. They're inside a bubble, literal bubble. They purify the air that goes in there. Now, because they don't have a functional immune system. It's very rare, but it does happen. What am I going to explain? As a child of God, your immune system is intact. You get what I'm saying? Your spiritual immune system is intact. All those witches that are around, don't kill them. It's okay. They are your neighbors. You're not getting my point. They are your neighbors. Some of them are very friendly. They will help you change your tire in an emergency. The man is a witch. If you kill him now, who's going to help you change your tire? Leave him there. They say, go to the village and drive out the witch from inside the tree. I keep on saying, you are wicked. The witch is so kind, is living inside the tree. Where else do you want him to go? He has not come to your bed. Now that one, I'm not going to agree. If you try my bed or come to my house, I will curse in the name of the Lord. You will get a problem. You stay in the tree, it's fine. Fine by me. They said there's one particular rock. It's a rock. That's good. Rocks don't move. We praise God. You stay there with the Muslims in Mecca. You understand my point? Stay inside the rock. Don't come out. Because my immune system is intact. I'm not afraid of you. That's the point I'm making. I am not afraid of you. My immune system is intact. All the preachers who preach and pray against all the witches in the neighborhood affecting your life and your business, they are selling antiseptic soap. You didn't hear that. What are they selling? Antiseptic soap. Just like they come with testimonies. Last week, as we were praying this prayer, all the witches were in the man, they were just quaking inside their house. that a witch can worry the man himself needs deliverance. The witches are not the problem. If I come to you and say, brethren, pray for me. The witches are pressing me. I think you should pray for me. But the prayer should not be against the witches. That pastor is now backsliding. Let us pray for him. That the thing that kept him down, so that witches can now press him, he will be delivered from it. Say, pastor, confess, confess. We know only one wife you married. Where is the second one? Because for these witches to come, there's a second one. Say, pastor, oh yeah, we want ministry account because you have been chopping the offering money. For these witches to be able to press you, you must have been doing something. Do you get the point I'm making? Do you get the point I'm making? So, you know, when I preached this on radio, some people were angry. I was about to put them out of business. You ask some people, say, what's your ministry? Say, our ministry is deliverance. From what now? So, me, that I'm preaching the word of truth, people are not being delivered. You shouldn't call your ministry deliverance. You should call it demonic ministry. As you pass through the door, there's one lady that told me once, she went to a church somewhere in this New Haven, Sunday morning, looking for a church to go. As she entered the church, they were praising. The next thing, she opened her eyes. One man had laid hand upon her, casting out demons. Ah! Now the guy carried her Bible and said, oh God, thank you very much. I'll pass. I'm going. Why? They first had to remove all the demons people brought. What are you? Transporter of demons. You come to church with demons. You first have to be delivered. It's ignorance. What did I call it?
Ignorance.
What did I call it?
Ignorance.
Why am I sitting on this? I think I need to help a person or two. Concerning this matter. But let me leave it. I've talked enough. Listen to me. If you're a child of God, unless you're not. If you're a child of God, walking with the word of God, you're not walking in sin and iniquity. Listen, no, your immune system is intact. What did I say?
My immune system is intact.
You said it very well. What did I say?
My immune system is intact.
All these witches, all these bacteria, they are not my problem. I'm basically healthy. Please, I hope you're following my point. We're talking at the song of Moses. So that was what God told Moses to write in a song. Let's read it. Chapter 32. Then Moses spoke, I'm reading the last verse of 31 before I go into 32. Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel, the words of this song until they were complete. These are the words. Give ear, O heaven, O heavens, let me speak. And let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain and all of that. He said in verse 3, for I proclaim the name of the Lord. He said, ascribe greatness to our God. Please, this is very important. I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. Why does this is important? Many people are ascribing greatness to those witches we're talking about. They are ascribing greatness to ancestral curses. They are ascribing greatness to the works of the devil. But what did Moses say? Ascribe greatness to our God. This is how he is. He said he is the rock. His work is perfect. Ascribe greatness to him because all his ways are just. He is a God of faithfulness without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Now this is why their problems come. He was talking about it because it's a prophetic word. He said they have acted corruptly toward him. They are not his children. That is the way they are behaving. Because of their defect, but are a perverse and crooked generation. He said, do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is not he your father who has brought you? He has made you and established you. He said, remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father and they will inform you. You elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance. Please notice this. If you are a Christian, listen to this very well. The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob, that is of all the peoples on the earth, the one God chose, is what he's talking about. He said he found him in the desert land, in a howling waste of a wilderness. This is how he picked him up and all of that. Verse 12 said, the Lord alone guided him and there was no foreign god with him. Please, if you have, I think, the Good News Bible, he said the Lord alone guided him and no foreign god helped him. Do you get the point? He said he made him ride on the higher place of the earth. That is describing how God blessed him. In verse 15, he now says, but Jeshurun, that is another name for Jacob, grew fat and kicked. He said, you are grown fat, you people. Thick and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. Now, please, he said, don't forget this in case you lost track of what I'm talking, where I began this from. This was a prophetic word. God said to Moses, the people will forsake me. Are you getting my point? And then they will enter into troubles. Then this is the way out of their troubles. So he's speaking now as if they are already in trouble in the promised land, even though they had not yet entered the promised land. They knew that this day would come. These are the words of one very long song they were all supposed to learn, so that they would teach their children, so that one day they will sing the song in the midst of their troubles and they will know where it came from and how to get out of it. Are you getting the point? So that's why I'm speaking as if it's in present tense here. Verse 16. They made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known. Verse 18 says, you neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. And the Lord saw this and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. Then he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. Now, I'm jumping because of time, all right? He said, "I will." Verse 23, I will heap misfortunes on them. I will use my arrows on them. They shall be wasted by famine, plague, bitter destruction, teeth of beasts, venom of crawling things of the dust. All right? Verse 25 says, outside the sword shall bereave and inside terror, both young man and virgin, the nursling with the man of gray hair. He said, God now said, had I, verse 27, verse 26, I would have said, I will cut them to pieces. I will remove the memory of them from men. Had I not feared the provocation by the enemy, lest their adversaries should be misguided, all right? Lest their adversaries should misjudge, lest they should say, our hand is triumphant, and the Lord has not done all this. Now, very important. When people are afflicting, they will think they have power. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? A lecturer is not allowing you to graduate. He thinks he has power. Please follow what I'm going to explain. You are applying for a job. Somebody will not let you get it. He thinks he has power. And this is the problem I have with Christians. They also agree that the man has power. They do not ascribe greatness to their God. I don't know whether I get my point. Why have you not passed this course? Why have you not been able to finish this postgraduate degree? You know these supervisors. You know how wicked they are. You know Nigeria, except you bribe. You know. They keep on giving you the excuses of the country. Why is your business not prospering? You know Nigerian customs. You know immigration. You know the government. You know the police. They keep on ascribing greatness to human beings around. Let me say something to you. Listen to me. You are not an average person. Amen. Listen to me. Let me say it again. Five of you may be in prison for doing nothing. But your name is Joseph. Why the other four are there? It doesn't concern you. I hope you get what I'm saying. Your name is Joseph. You came there because God had to prepare you for something else. The fact that everybody was brought by the same soldiers, arrested on all of you on trumped up charges, doesn't mean you are in the same boat with everybody. Be careful when you sit down and you are discussing your problems with unbelievers. And you start joining hands in what to do to come out of problems. You know what he said here? The enemy will have, they'll be thinking, my hand is triumphant. I am strong. Chevy, he said, is a Christian. What he doesn't know is that God is working with you and there is a time limit for all of these things. Are you getting the point I'm making? Yes, God is working with you. Everybody around you is an instrument of God, whether they like it or they don't like it. If a man doesn't help you, it is because God has not yet instructed him to help. Did you hear what I said?